This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 316 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and this is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, we're continuing with
Bayham. Oh, my God.
It's like Monster Jam, Michael Bay month. I mean, so far, we haven't had a miserable time, honestly. 13 Hours and The Rock. I mean, both of those we reviewed well. So far, I know you said before going in, you're like, I don't really like Michael Bay, but two for two so far in Michael Bay month. Maybe these were just ones that you hadn't seen either, or you had seen The Rock.
Well, I seen The Rock a long time ago. I never seen 13 Hours. We did all the Transformer films. We didn't do Bad Boys, but I did see those. But
we did The Island.
We did
Pablo
Island.
Hated it.
Yeah, that wasn't as, it was okay, but. And then we got to do Ambulance. I guess when we do at the end of the thing, I guess I'll put a little surblur about Michael Bay. Maybe it'll change. I don't know. It might change.
Maybe it's like, you know what? These are just action movies and they're fine. But we're going to find out because today we're doing a little movie from 2001 called Pearl Harbor. Now, this stars a ton of people are in this movie. Ben Affleck, Josh Hartnett, Kate Fine Beckinsale, Jennifer Garner, Jamie King, Tom Sizemore, Cuba Gooding Jr., Alec Baldwin, John Voight with a bunch of makeup on. I mean, everybody's in this movie. So we're going to be reviewing Harrison, our buddy Harrison's favorite World War II movie, Pearl Harbor. Now, before we get into it, I got a lot to say about this movie. We're going to review it and give scores, but I almost just want to have a conversation with you about certain things in this movie because it was driving me, it was making me mad, but not in like at the movie, just in general. So we'll get to that. Before we do, let me give you some Rotten Tomatoes scores. They're mixed. Well, I will say one's good, one's bad. I'll let you guess which one is which. Yes,
The critics went bad and then the audience loved it, right?
Okay. They didn't love it, but it is fresh. So the critics score on this one is a 24%.
Okay.
2-4. The audience score is a 66%.
So, I can see that. I can see that as well.
This is like the 13 Hours where it was like 30 something critics, but the audiences loved it.
I do not understand that till this day. I don't get it. Because, you know, I don't want to go into like the whole thing, but I got to say, and you could say yes or no. Yeah. That has to, 13 Hours has to be the best polished Michael Bay directing I think I ever seen in out of all his movies. Like,
yeah, and they still gave it the horrible reviews.
They gave it a 12.
22%. I was like, what 22. The heck are you doing?
Yeah, I don't get it.
So there is a gap here. Critics did not like this. Audiences seem to, and 2/3 of audiences enjoyed it. I can tell you for a fact, one of our patrons, Beckish, loves this movie. And I have another friend who says it's one of his favorite movies. So, you know, I know people who like it.
I'll say this. My wife was watching it with me. She loves this movie. She goes, I watch it all the time. And I'm like, what? But she,
when
you know,
do you
crazy?
Just have 3 hours laying around?
She does not like Midway, which is weird. And I love Midway. So
I didn't love Midway, so maybe I love this. I don't know. We're going to talk about it now. All right, let's get into it because there's stuff I want to talk about. Okay, so let's go ahead and go to the lead characters. It's, of course, Ben Affleck's character, Rafe. We'll just go with first names. Danny is Josh Hartnett. We'll score both. They're co-leads. They're both on the front of the box. What did you think?
I gave him a 4. Both. I don't think they were perfect. You know what it is with this movie? It's a long-ass movie. That's one. And then two, it's like a love triangle movie mixed with actual... I don't know if this is actual historic events or if this is... I don't know when it comes to that stuff because I'm not a big historian like Evan and Harrison. Like, those guys are very deep into the history of stuff. Yeah. But I really don't know what that stuff... But I know this is a long movie, but with their characters, I don't know if this shit was made up like Titanic to make you feel like you're in their journey.
Fake.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I will say this, but those characters, it was kind of weird, right? Like, they grew up together and they were playing fake planes with each other. They're like, ah, and then all of a sudden they grew up and one died and then the other one bangs his
died.
Woman.
One died.
Yeah, one died. Ben Affleck died and then the other one bangs his woman and then gets her pregnant and then he comes back to the fold and it's like a love triangle and stuff. And then the other one dies and then he takes the kid and his girl back. It's so stupid. It's so dumb. But anyway, Rafe. kind of weird name for army dude, but it is what it is. Rafe. All right, so let's get into it. He's a pilot. He's a very good pilot. Very dyslexic. I think he's dyslexic because when he was doing the eye exam, he couldn't say the words right and he can't read, but he did the math well and he did every other thing. So he's very dyslexic. I caught that and I was like, oh, okay, pretty cool. But he's a very army. Like he loves to fly and you can see in the movie, he's really good pilot. Now you got Danny, which is the other half of him, a good pilot, but not as good as Ben Affleck's character. I kind of noticed that. Like Ben Affleck was more of a better pilot than, which is funny because his dad, Danny's dad, is the one that flew for the army and he sucked behind the damn plane. So kind of weird, right? So I thought Danny's character wasn't as strong, but they had good chemistry. I'm not going to give him a perfect because I felt like where Leonardo DiCaprio's character guided you throughout the movie when he came into the picture with Rose, he gave you a better performance. These guys, it didn't work out for me. I don't know. There's something about Ben Affleck's acting in this one. To me, did not work. Like, it felt weird in with his character. So, I don't want to jibber-jabber the whole time. So, I'll give it a 4. You'll go more in depth with these characters, I bet. But, yeah, I give him a 4.
Yeah, I have the same score. I gave him a 4, too. I liked them. I think they are made up. They're not, like, based on anything authentic. You hit the nail on the head, though. I'm pretty sure Michael Bay watched Titanic and then was like, I want to make my version of Titanic, where I'm going to take this historical event that a lot of people died at, but then I'm going to make a love story out of it, pretty much. Because that's what Titanic is. Yeah. You're following a love story, and then like all of a sudden in the third act, the ship is getting destroyed. Everybody's getting all crazy. And then, that's what it is. This is the same thing. Literally, it's well over an hour before the actual Pearl Harbor event happens.
Yeah.
So, it's a 3-hour movie. That being said, I like the characters. I think I had a good time following them. I have to save my thing that I want to talk about for storyline, but I will say I like Ben Affleck. I like Josh Hartnett in this. I thought his acting was a little better. I agree with you. I don't think Ben Affleck was bad, but I don't know if this is the best. Well, I think if he played this role now, he would do much better.
Yes.
I don't think he was at his top of his game acting wise. I think he's gotten better as an actor. And he was young here. The 2000, he's in his 20s. So, he was still growing as an actor. So, but I did like them. I was interested in what was going on with them. I think when I score a character, that's what's important. Am I invested in what's going on? And I was the whole time. So yes, I gave them a 4. You gave them a 4. Okay, villains. Now, this one, similar to 13 Hours, except at least there's some faces you could put. The Japanese are, sorry, Rob. The Japanese are the villains of this movie. What did you think?
I gave him a 5. Ooh. This is why the difference between this one and Midway is that this one, they showed you strategically they were doing. These dudes, they rented an apartment or something on Hawaii and they were taking photographs of the ships and everything. These dudes were planning. So it was a 3-hour movie. I could literally say within 30 minutes of the film, they're planning. And I think that was actually really good for a film like this. You get to see the opposition putting together their plan to take over. Like to bomb everybody. So that I gave a lot of kudos to. And then when it comes to Pearl Harbor and the bombing, man, these people just kept coming and coming and coming. And I loved it in terms of a movie, not in real life. I didn't say it was great. In terms of the movie, me sitting down, it actually kept me engaged watching. Yes. And I was just like, holy crap, this is what we got to go through. So again, I didn't say I loved it because of that. I mean, I liked it in terms of a movie watch. I don't think in terms of if I was there, I would have been shitting in my pants. But it's kind of sad with all the stuff that happens. But in terms of the Japanese guys, I thought they did a great job in this movie portraying them. If this is true to life of what happened and how they strategize and how to attack us. And I like the general, man, when he said, this is a what he said. He goes, it's a win or lose. Because he goes, if we knock them out, then they'll win the war. I think they win the war or something like that. But if they don't, there's that one scene that he said, we have woken the giant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's when they did the Hiroshima bomb, right? Is that
everything war? After that was leading up to them going to drop the nuke. They don't show that, but that's what
I was waiting for that. I was like, oh man, I wanted to see the post credit or something. I was like, man,
post credit scene. They drop a nuke. Oh my gosh.
Oh man. Again, I'm just joking around, but no. But imagine that, like the post credit scene is the bomb of Hiroshima. You just hear the thing go. The sirens and then just a big white light and that's it. But I gave it a 5.
I'm surprised at what I'm looking at. So obviously when we record these, we have some of our patrons watching and they give us their scores. I'm surprised they're not giving the villains a 5.
What?
I give them a 5 as well. Yeah, they both gave them a 4. I don't understand. This is a historical... So the way you and Scott described 13 Hours last week.
Yeah.
This movie, I feel like, does it better because you have the general. They're strategizing. This was a successful campaign in regards to what Japan was doing at the time in the war. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's horrible, obviously, in real life context. But in the context of the movie that we're reviewing and we have to break down to these categories, how can it be anything less than a 5? They killed thousands and thousands and thousands of soldiers. They destroyed the warships. They did all this stuff. It's easily a 5 for me. It's not even close to anything under that. This reminds me of We Were Soldiers with Mel Gibson, where them guys I think that was Vietnam. They were destroying the Americans, but you got to give me the general. You got to give me the somebody who's in charge, who's planning, and I'll give it a 5 if it's real life. So yes, 5 for me as well. I mean, they obliterated us and, you know, other things happened afterward, obviously. But in this moment for this movie, they pretty much won. You know, they were the winners of the main event in this. So yeah, 5 for me as well. I agree with you 100%. Okay, action.
Oh my God. Is this 13 hours action? No. But this is way better action in terms of flying and look, Michael Bay, to me, when he uses CGI, I think he overboards a lot of shit. And I'm like, oh man, it takes me away. He used the right amount of CGI because I felt like I was in the damn war. It wasn't like Roman Emmerich's Midway version where that one felt very polished. Like, I mean, very bright, like you could see that it's CGI, but he blended it very well that it's practical and CG. This one kind of felt like it wasn't CG. I mean, we do know there was CG in certain parts, but I kind of felt like this was more cinematic version. Yeah.
For 2001, the CG was very good.
I agree with you. I think he hit the nail on the head in terms of how he wanted to do the action here. Because I love the scenes of all the Japanese planes low coming in, and you could tell those were real planes flying over the cameras. And I was like, yo, this is cool. Like, I like that stuff. When they started bombing the shit out of Pearl Harbor, I was just like floored. Like, holy crap. Even with the Arizona Intrepid flipping over in the water and then you got all those men banging away and they're trying to take them out. And I was like, oh my God. Where it's weird, right? Because we keep, you know, Midway and this movie is two separate films. But to me, they're shot kind of similar where one of them puts you more in a POV standpoint in Midway. He puts you more on the cockpit in the plane. Whereas Pearl Harbor puts you more in a wide angle camera, like very back. So you can see the battles come in front of you instead of putting you in front of the airplanes and making you feel like you're in the war. And I kind of like that the way he decided to have us in the back. See everything unfold. I loved it. I thought the whole bombing of Pearl Harbor was awesome. I thought the whole bombing of the them going to the Pearl Harbor. The
airfield?
Yeah, that was awesome too. Yeah. And the hospital.
Oh yeah.
When people were running and the guy's wife got killed. I was like, holy crap. And I'll end it with this because I'll let you go because I know you want to say more stuff. When they did the bomber, dude, when they were lining it up and then he let go and the camera just started going down with the bomb, I said, yo, this joint is hot. I mean, again, I'm not saying it in terms of in real life, but
we got to score it. Yeah. How it looked.
It's cinematography wise, this movie was amazing in terms of action. So I'm going to give it a 5. I think this is a phenomenal piece in terms of action. Dude, so 5.
The bomb dropping was one of the most memorable. I remember that. That's one of the things I remember from when I watched this like 20 years ago. Midway did it, copied, because this came out way before Midway.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, Midway was like in the 2017, 18, something like that. This was 2001. So that scene where drops and you're just following it down through the ship. Also, when that ship explodes, it's one of the coolest. I love the way he did it. It's like, it like goes up from the inside and everybody
that's practical.
The poor potato peeler guy just got
blown to smithereens. Oh, I felt so
bad. Oh, when the other friend too, he's like, it's a dud. And then he just just obliterated.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That scene is crazy. I agree with you. I gave it a 5. Look, this is not, it's 3 hours, but that Pearl Harbor scene's like 40 minutes of just action nonstop.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of love story and melodrama. Drama, and we'll get to that in a minute. But when the action kicks, I don't care what. I don't care what anyone says. Michael Bay knows how to direct action. He does. It looks cool. You're right. There's CGI, but it looks good as for a 22 year old movie. The CGI looks good, and not only that, it's a lot of there's a lot of real fire. One thing I hate in modern movies is CGI fire. They use it all the time. It never looks real ever. This, they blew stuff up. I miss old movies like this. old movies from the 2000s. I miss movies that use real explosions. Yeah. Blow some stuff up, you know? Like, you built it. It's a big set. Blow that crap up. So I love all the explosions and all that. The gunfights, the airplane. You're right. I love the torpedoes when it shows them go in the water.
Oh, those were amazing. They're like, yeah.
There's a lot of suspense in that scene. Like, those sailors see them going under and they're like, oh, shoot. And then stuff, they get blown up. Yeah, it's a five. I don't got nothing else to say. It was awesome. Tom Sizemore shooting the freaking plane. Cuba Gooding Jr. getting on the turret.
That was nice too. Oh,
yeah.
And we didn't even talk about it because it's again the point of the. I mean, this film has so many action pieces that we didn't even tackle some of the others. The aerial scenes were so good. Like, we didn't even talk about that. The aerial of Ben Affleck in the plane and Danny on the plane fighting the Japanese, and he's in Britain. He's fighting Britain versus Germany. Like, those scenes were pretty cool. I felt like the camera was a little bit too close because you felt like they were in the green screen. So, like, when they're pushing the thing going this way, it kind of didn't look, it kind of looked wonky. But I thought in terms of the aerial scenes, again, it looked great.
The dogfights were good.
Yeah.
The dogfights in this were better than the one in Flyboys.
It did. Yeah, it did.
Again, way before that. So a five. The action is definitely not the problem at all in any way, shape, or form with this movie. Okay, this is where I really want to talk to you about. Let's get to the storyline. Let's give some scores, and then I got some stuff I want to say. So, what did you think of the storyline of this movie? Because there's a lot.
All right, let's do it this way. Let's do a different format here. I'll give you my score. You give you your score, and then we'll have the discussion.
Okay,
I like it. All right, I give this the storyline a three.
I have the same score.
Okay,
I
also so gave we a three apiece. All right, so what do you want to discuss?
Here's what we got to talk about. Because I was watching this movie, and I had to pause it. Because I was like, hold on a second. This is, so let's have a, so again, we do spoilers here. You guys already know. You've probably seen this movie. You're scoring along with us, hopefully. If you haven't seen it, pause, go watch a 3-hour movie, come back, and let's have the conversation. This movie's a love triangle. You said it's a love triangle.
Yeah.
This movie pissed me off so much. I think there are three people in this world. Okay. I don't know which one you are. I think you might be on my side here, but there is the Ben Afflecks in real life.
Yeah.
There are the Josh Hartnetts in real life. And there's the Kate Beckinsales in real life. I would say 95% of women are going to be the Kate Beckinsale here. I did not have a problem with her choices personally, myself. She's in love with Ben Affleck, and they didn't really know each other that long. Like, let's be honest. True. They met. It was a little bit. She thinks he's dead. Dead, dead, dead. She ends up falling in love with someone else. Happens to be his best friend. Pisses me off. Okay. But it pisses me off at the friend, not at the woman. So I'm the Ben Affleck in this scenario. I think... And I was talking with my cousin about this, and I was talking with my, I even told my mom, I was like, mom, that's off limits. That the friend, if you're the friend, because you remember it says 3 months later, that's not that long. Three months is not that long. He should be watching over her, making sure she's good and not doing nothing else with her. Even if the friend's dead for at least a year, 2 years, maybe, then it happens. Okay. But he was like, he went after her. He pursued her. And she was even going to be like, you know what? It's too. And he kept with his, you know, maybe we could go get coffee, whatever, you know, Josh Hartnett. And then all the friends are like, yeah, go for it. Go for it. Do it. There was no body. They said Ben Affleck was dead, but his body was never returned. You know, nothing like that. When he showed up, I was like, I was in his shoes most of the time. I would have shot this guy. I would have shot my friend. We wouldn't have been friends no more. Like, we are not best friends. You took my girl. I was not dead. I related to him the most in that he was like, the one thing that kept me going, the one thing that kept me alive was being able to see you again. She's like, well, no, I love your best friend. That's it. I love your best friend. I can't totally fault her, but Josh Hartnett, his character pisses me off. I think it's bro code. He failed the bro code, in my opinion, just for duration. If he was literally dead, buried in the ground, and they saw it, a little different, but they didn't. So I relate to Ben Affleck's character in this. And then at the end, now you're telling me that they get back together because he's dead. So she just keeps picking whoever's alive. Pretty much. And now he's going to raise his friend's son. It's kind of like a punk. I didn't like it. It made me mad. I want to get your opinion on this whole scenario. And what did you think of it?
I personally think, like, this is the first time you're watching it. Mm-hmm. So like when I saw it unfold, I kind of, you know, it's funny. The thing about this movie, it's kind of formulaic. Like, if you see a lot of movies, you kind of know where they're going to go with the story. So the more I kept talking out loud, my wife was like, well, how did you know? I was like, because I already knew this was gonna, like, I already foresaw the future, what's happening. I will say this. If I was Ben Affleck and the minute she uttered the word, whatever she said to him.
Where's Danny?
Yeah. Where's Danny? He's getting his ass whooped. Like there's no way. I'm not going to stand there and go, get away from me when I'm walking away. Cause I'm charging you and I'm spearing you and I'm beating the shit out of you. Like straight up.
Spine buster.
I would spine buster his ass. Yeah. Like straight up into like the wooden plank or some crap. Like just beat his ass. In terms of her, I would be more angry with her a little bit because she did. I mean, I know the fact that she didn't see him for 3 months and it is what it is. But then for 3 months, she was already wanted to go into with someone else. But
in regards to her, she only knew him for probably a couple weeks.
Yeah, Danny I get it.
Knew this kid since they were little kids.
No, she's off limits. Totally. Yeah. But I would have still been annoyed at her. I mean, it's just sure. Being annoyed because you came back.
It's a natural reaction.
Yeah, naturally, I would have been annoyed, but this dude got his ass whooped. And the fact that this dude goes to a bar and goes, hey, why don't you drink with me? Oh, no. The minute I see you, it's being another spine buster going down the stairs. We would have been going at it every time I see you. I think I agree with you. The storyline for me is not plausible. Maybe it is. Like in real life, it was
too
fake. It's very fake because honestly, like if me and you are best friends and you would have did that to me and we're both pilots, I don't give a fuck what happens to you in the air. Like, you know what I mean? Like we're not talking no more. Like I don't care if Pearl Harbor is going down and we're going up in a plane. You're not my wingman because we're going to be so pissed off at each other. It's very movie when it's like, oh, we don't talk about this right now because we're under war. And then all of a sudden, they're best friends and they're running around again and they're doing. And then all of a sudden, at the end, it's like, you know, he died for him because he's on the team. He's like, pa, 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 pa. And I was just like, oh, God.
Good. I said good for you.
Oh, I did say good. I was like, you know what? You take that, you know, take it. But, you know, he did get it the worst, though. He got the thing in his neck. Like, he was dying anyway. He got the
I liked Josh Hartnett except for him even approaching Kate. She should have been untouchable. And this is just my opinion.
Yeah.
She should have been untouchable. It's like, I know they were together. I know that he loved her the most. I will make sure that she's good, be friends. You know what I mean? And if she wants to date someone else, I'll make sure that guy is a good guy, but it won't be me. It will not be me.
They could have did it in a way that he never met her. And Ben Affleck he didn't know who she was. So then Ben Affleck sends him the letter. Yeah. Then it would have been different. Like he banged her. He did whatever he did. And then he's like, oh, crap. Like this is
worse because he knew.
Yeah, he knew. That's the whole point of the whole thing. Like that, to me, the writing in that part, I was just like, this is not even plausible at all.
And then she's like, I'm going to give him my whole heart, but I love you forever. Hey, now you're sending mixed signals.
That's what I'm saying. When she said that to him on the tent, I'm like, then why are you talking to me? I'm like, go get Danny, bro. Like, get out of here.
I'm not with you no more. Get away.
She's folding his pants. I would have unfolded it and threw it in the
You know why he let her? Because she's fine. That's why he let her fold his pants.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was fine. But like, Jennifer Garner was there. She was hot, too.
He could have taken the consolation prize of Jennifer. Well, they got in real life. They ended up together. Him and Elektra. Okay, true. I wanted to have that discussion because I know people who are okay with what Hartnett, Josh Hartnett did.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, you know what? Okay. Because they're going to say, well, he was dead. Sure, fine. But he wasn't dead. You know what else I would have thought made the movie a little better? And then we'll move on to overall. Because you could tell Ben Affleck didn't die in that crash, but they didn't confirm it, right? I would have liked it better if they did confirm it right away. So you as a viewer know he's alive the whole time. And then it makes it more juicy. It makes it more like, bro, he's alive. He's coming. He's on the boat. And he's trying to get back to her. And Josh Brolin's out here banging her and getting her pregnant. That would have made it even crazier when he did show back up. Because it would have been like, you know it's coming. You're waiting for this showdown. Instead, he's like, all of a sudden, he's at the door. He's like, I'm alive. Surprise.
Well, no, they should have did it in a way that they found a body and it was his. And then you go, oh my God, he is dead. And then the point that is getting all hot and heavy between Danny and her, he walks right in. And you're like, what? This dude was alive.
Our patron Robert. Robert says they both should have died. Then she should have just ended up alone with the kid.
Oh, well, yeah, he could have did that too.
For her treachery, just be a single mother.
Well, I wanted to ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Since we're having a discussion.
Yeah.
He landed that plane mad hard, bro. And this dude got up.
The dude at the bottom definitely blew up. Right?
Oh, he died. Mean, he died. But the way he landed that plane, I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, but then the other dude, Danny's character, landed it the same way, and he got the thing in his neck. He had like the worst of the worst. So
not as tough as Rafe. I don't think Rafe already survived one of these. He's already survived one of these. He's walked on the dark side already. He knows what it takes to live. That's why.
Yeah, I don't know. I just felt like it's, in terms of, I will say this, Titanic's writing in terms of fictional mixed with real life events was more flawless and polished and very well thought out on how they're going to do it. This one just felt like you said, they just went, all right, let's just do a love triangle in this one. Just, you know, because they didn't do that in Titanic.
Titanic is also melodramatic, but this one is soap opera-y.
Yeah.
It's very soap opera-y. Mad
novella.
Yes. Yes, 100%. Michael Bay was watching Titanic, and on another TV, he's watching a novella, and he's like, I'm going to put these together. I'm going to watch Telemundo and Titanic at the same time, and I'm going to make it into Titanic Mundo.
Imagine that. That's the name of the project. Titanic
the
Mundo.
The secret name was Titanic Mundo.
Project Mundo.
Yeah, so anyway, I was engaged. I think we can agree, even though we gave it a 3, we were engaged with the story. Like I was into engaged. It. So that's a positive. Okay, overall,
I gave it a 3. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because of the love story. If it was no love story and it was just straight the events, like Ben Affleck was an actual pilot and we followed him, you know, him, whatever lifestyle he had, and it was behind the scenes of the Americans, the British, the Japanese, and then we're going to this big lead up to this awesome war that they did in the movie, I would have given it a 4 or a 5. See, where Midway did very well, though, and I know you hated it a lot, because you hated the main character and he sounded whatever.
That guy was the worst.
The only thing is that we followed them through the war. And I like that. This one is too fictional triangle. And then they try to blend it in with this real life disaster that happened. I didn't like it as much, but I thought it was good enough. I was really entertained. I'm not going to say I wasn't. I really was entertained with this film. So I gave it a...
I agree with all your points. I gave it a 3 as well. I think it's a good movie. I think it gets a lot of crap. I don't quite agree with, but I also can understand why someone wouldn't like this because of that. It is not, it's a war movie, but it's way more a love story than, and it's a weird love story at that. It's like like you said, it's like a weird love triangle. It's got a great cast though. It looks really good. It's really well shot. The Pearl Harbor scene is great. I think if this movie, it's too long. So that marks off a little bit. I didn't like the end. Like, I feel like after the Pearl Harbor scene, there should have been maybe 10 more minutes where they're planning to do the nuke and then end it. Honestly, I could have done without, because the other scene, you don't even see the bombs or anything like that, right? You see them go, Alec Baldwin, they're friends again. And then it's just there so he can die so that Ben Affleck can end up with Kate Beckinsale again. And it felt like tacked on to me. I think somewhere there's like a 2 hour and 10 minute version of this movie where it's way better. You know what I mean? Even with you could leave in the love triangle, sure, whatever. But a lot of other stuff could have been trimmed down, and then that big Pearl Harbor scene be your kind of big main event, and then the movie ends shortly after. So I think there is a better version of this movie. Like you said, I would probably give a 4, maybe even a 5, depending on how it was written, but definitely a 4. But as it is, I also gave it a 3. What's your total?
My total is a 20 out of a 25.
We have the same score, 20. I think it's a good movie. I like this. I'd rather watch this than Midway, whereas Midway's probably more historically accurate. It's more boring. This is not a boring movie at all, in my opinion. And that movie, I was bored a lot.
You know what? It's very weird, right? Because I know you didn't like it, and I liked it a lot. Yeah. I like both movies. I'm not going to say, you know, one, you know, it's funny because it's the same events, but it was so different. I like Patrick Wilson's character in Midway a lot. Mm. Dan Aykroyd played the same character here in Pearl Harbor. Dan Aykroyd, you know what? Let's just be honest right now. He was an excellent character here. Like, I was just like, this dude was made for that type of character, the nerdy role. He was really serious. So, like, I really like Dan Aykroyd in the role. But the thing is, like, Midway, I think they both was good. Which one would I like better? I'm going to be honest with you, and I'll say it right now. If this movie did not have the love triangle, I think Pearl Harbor for me would have been the best one over Midway.
Yeah.
Hated the love triangle part in this movie. It didn't need it. I think it definitely didn't need it. But, man, that action scene, they both did great action scenes. Like I said, one was in the cockpit, POV. This one was just straight disaster all over the place. This one's better.
This movie was trying to target both male and female audiences.
I agree.
You know, and Midway's not. It doesn't feel like there's anything in there for ladies at all. I mean, and I'm saying women can't like that movie. Don't get me wrong. They can. They can like whatever they want. I'm just saying this one was trying to market to them with the handsome guys and the love story and all that. Yeah. The Titanic crowd. And then the guys with the action, with the explosions, with the... So I agree with you. I think this one's more entertaining, but Midway, I don't think it's as bad. As
Midway was more blockbuster. Like that that big blockbuster.
Yeah, and I think it went more for historical accuracy over this movie, probably.
I agree with that.
I can see that, too. Yeah. All right. So here's what we got coming up. Oh, 20 out of 20 for both of us. 20 out of 25. So next week, first, Men in Black 3. And then our last Michael Bay movie this month flew by, pretty much. We will be doing Ambulance, which is one of his newest movies. Is that it? I think it's his newest movie.
I think so. Yeah,
Ambulance. Yeah, with Jake Gyllenhaal and that Yahya Mateen, whatever guy. He's Black good. Manta. I like him. Yes. So Black Manta, Jake Gyllenhaal, and Isaac Gonzalez. We're going to be reviewing that. And then I will announce what the next month will be at the end of that show. So stay tuned.
All right, guys. There you have it. You guys want to follow us in our social media accounts? Please follow Nate over on Instagram. He goes live every other Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast of Nate and his friends, Nateflix Movie Reviews, on all your podcast platform. Anything action movie, guys, head over to Instagram at Geeks and Flicks. Official website, www.geeksandflicks.com. He is your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Addis Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.